Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Halloween night, Capital One tonight. The Caps go for their seventh win in 9 games already. They have started off this season on fire. They play Montreal tonight at home. Alex Ovechkin right now, based on his pace, 4 goals in the first 8 games, on pace to pass Gretzky. Not next year, this year. Our good friend Tariq El-Bashir, who writes for and covers the team for Monumental Sports Network at Tariq_El-Bashir on X, joins us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter, beat the books, download the BetQL app today, or visit BetQL.com. So, because I haven't talked to you in a while and did not talk to you prior to the season started, what kind of team did you think the Caps were going to be this year? And have the first 8 games changed your mind if you didn't think they were going to be what they've been so far?
Well, Kevin, I thought there was going to be more of an acclimation period. You know, they turned over essentially a third of their roster, bringing in 7 new players in the offseason. I mean, that's a lot of new pieces you've got to plug into a lineup. So I figured, you know, October might be a little bit of a soft spot, but I thought that also their depth and their top of the lineup players were significantly better than last year. So I thought they would be a better team, but I felt like potentially there would be kind of a rough, ragged start, and they would get better as the season wore on. And as we're finding out here, they've really hit the ground running. And, you know, use all the cliches here. I mean, they're clicking on all cylinders. Everything looks good to me right now. Starting to run into a little bit of injury problems, but nothing's too serious. But they're scoring almost a goal per game better than last year. They're defending hard. The goaltending, the numbers aren't great, but they're making the right save at the right moment, which is something they didn't always get the past few years. And, Kevin, the thing that really jumps out to me is they aren't beating up on cupcakes here.
Yeah, right.
They've beaten Vegas and Dallas and New Jersey and the Rangers. I mean, these are all teams that, you know, many pundits expect to compete for a Stanley Cup this year. So, yeah, no complaints here from how the Capitals are playing.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Joe B. pointed this out yesterday, that their schedule to start the season's been brutal, and they've come through it 6-2, and now it kind of lightens up a little bit. So you hit on some of the things. They're scoring more than they were scoring last year. Why do you think the new group with all of the new pieces has come together a little bit faster than anticipated?
Well, I think the coaching staff, you know, namely Spencer Carberry, did a really good job integrating the new players into his schemes. But I also feel like the holdovers, the guys who've been here a long time, the John Carlsons and Alex Ovechkins, the Nick Dowds, you know, those guys have built a really strong culture here in Washington. And I know it's kind of a word that gets overused maybe a little bit in sports, but, you know, new players tell me all the time when they come to D.C., it didn't take long to feel like you were part of the group. And that's just something that has been fostered over the years here in D.C., and I've heard it time and again through, you know, different from different players over different years. So it's got to be true. And there's something about the veterans here that just make guys feel like they're part of the group, part of the team. And I think that has accelerated the acclimation process for a lot of these young guys.
That's really interesting to me. Because, look, there is a vibe and always has been a vibe around the Caps in this town. The fan base is very, very passionate. The, you know, the hardcore part of the fan base is very passionate. Players always speak fondly of their time in Washington, if they're here or if they've come and gone. And you just said maybe kind of the players are responsible. We've got, you know, multiple coaches. We've had multiple GMs over that period of time. How much of this does Ted get credit for?
Well, I mean, it's everything in an organization starts at the top, right? I mean, Ted isn't as hands-on as he was when I first started covering this team back in 2003, 2004. But at the same time, I feel like he's learned and evolved as an owner over the years, and he has a type when he's making hires. And, you know, I would say he delegates and hires people that he trusts, people who come highly recommended from other places. This organization does a great job of vetting not only, you know, new coaches and managers, and there haven't been a whole lot of managers in the history of this franchise. They do a good job of doing homework on players. I mean, you're not going to bat 1,000 on every player you bring in, but I would say over the last 5-6 years, you can probably count on one hand how many times they brought in a player and he didn't either work out for on-ice reasons or because he just wasn't a fit off the ice. He just didn't fit into the group. It doesn't happen very much. And, you know, there are other teams around the league where that happens to them a lot. They're always like, oof, that, you know, when you first see that sign, you're like, oh, that doesn't look like a great fit. And then turns out a year later, that player is getting traded. That doesn't seem to happen here a lot in D.C.
A name that has been a part of this organization forever that maybe it's me, and it could be. I'm sure Caps fans have a better sense for it than I do, but I think a majority of sports fans probably don't know the role that Dick Patrick has played in this organization for a long period of time. Can you explain it?
Yeah, and Dick's still here, man. You know, he's in his, I want to say, late 70s. Yep. You know, I still see him in the morning sometimes. We sometimes pull in around the same time. I say hi. You know, he's really a behind-the-scenes type, but for a long time, he essentially was the conduit between the business side of things and the hockey side of things. Of course, he's from the famed Patrick hockey family, you know, right. Knows the game. One thing I want to write at some point, Kevin, is going to be like the family tree of the Patricks. I mean, they've touched so many organizations. They've been around in this game for so long. But, you know, he also was and still is the guy who kind of sets the budget to a certain extent. And like I said, he kind of connects what the hockey operation side wants and needs to, okay, how does that fit into the business plan? And I think, you know, five decades of experience in the business, serves him well. He's seen it all. He's done it all. And, I feel like the front office has gone through a little bit of a restructuring, particularly with his son, Chris, you know, being hired as the general manager this year. But it really still is amazing to me to see Dick in meetings. And, you know, I mean, I'm not in those meetings, but I see him walking into those meetings and into the front office. I mean, he's still handling business, and he's been doing it for a long time here. And when you think about the sustained success that this franchise has had, during the Leontis years, but even before that, you know, yeah, they didn't win a cup, but they played for a cup, and they were in the playoffs every single year. They were just in a really tough division with all the teams that were really good.
The Patrick division.
The Patrick division. I mean, Dick deserves a lot of credit, and you're right. I don't think that fans recognize, because, again, he's just not an outspoken guy. He's never been one to seek attention or be in the news. Or, you know, when I covered the team for the Washington Post for 13 years, the number of times I spoke to Dick on the record about stuff, not very much. He didn't seek the accolades or the spotlight. He just went about his job quietly behind the scenes, making sure stuff got done.
All right, let's shift the conversation to Alex Ovechkin and the start. The two goals the other night, you know, came within 2 minutes in the first period. What does he look like to you right now physically?
Physically, he looks good. He looks like he worked on his weight this offseason. I'm not saying that's really been a problem for him. He's always been a big guy, but he looks like he's really fit and really worked hard this summer to get into shape. You know, I remember Justin Williams, who was a very thin player, you know, even when he was in his 20s, he wasn't a big guy, but he told me as he got later into his 30s, he had to cut weight just so he could keep that extra half step, just so he could make some of those moves in the corners. And I think Alex really took that to heart this year. You know, he had that really great end of the season last year to the regular season. And to me, it looks like he's carried it over. I mean, the thing I would say is he's 39 years old. I mean, he's doing something that no modern player has done. I mean, Wayne Gretzky scored 9 goals, I want to say, in his 38-year-old year. Ovi scored 31. You know, he's already got 4 in 8 games this year. And, you know, the thing that really jumps out to me is the first few games, you know, he had the empty netter, he had the puck that went off his body. And so Alex has always been a player who scores in bunches, and confidence plays a big role in how he performs. And I was like, man, he's got to get a goal from his office or on the power play. He's got to get one soon. And then, bam, against the Rangers, you know, beats Shesterkin, his countryman that he's a pretty good rival with, you know, 5-hole. And then, you know, a few minutes later, gets that great pass from Alexi Protas, and he pots that one too. And you could see his game after that just kind of took off. You know, confidence is, it's a funny thing. It's hard to measure, but you can kind of see when a player has it and when he doesn't. And to me, the rest of that Rangers game, that was one of the best games I've seen Alex play. He was moving his feet. He was making plays. He was hanging on the pucks down low. You know, he was just dangerous all game long. And that's a really good thing if you're a Caps fan, because, it's hard to score in this league. It's even harder when you're 39 and you've been doing it for as long as he has, and you've got the accumulation of hard miles that he had on that body. Yeah. And I think we can, you know, it's a long way to go here still, but I think you can now see, or at least I can feel, okay, you know what, he is going to make a legit run at this record. Might take till next year, but I think he's going to make a really good run at it.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like, I mean, you know, barring injury, knock on wood, it's almost a foregone conclusion at this point. And, you know, you bring up, and you've brought this up with me previously, and for those that don't know this, because maybe you're not so into the sport, it's much harder to score goals now than it was when Gretzky played. So Ovechkin will be considered, you know, without question, when he passes Gretzky, to be the greatest goal scorer in the history of the game. It's just one last one on him, that right wing spot versus his comfortable many years left wing spot. Is he handling it okay? I mean, does it look the same? Does it look awkward? Is, you know, you said confidence, it's such a key for everybody, but how is he handling that adjustment?
It was funny. I was talking to someone about that the other day. Ovi kind of goes where Ovi goes. I mean, he can really call him a right wing or a left wing. He's just a wing. He's just kind of out there. He moves around a lot. The reason for putting him on the right wing, there are a number of reasons for it. But from a tactical X's and O's standpoint, a lot of it has to do with play in the defensive zone. When you're playing on your natural wing, you're on your forehand a lot more. You know, you're not trying to take the puck off the boards on your backhand and make other high skill, hard to make plays. Essentially what Spencer Carberry was trying to do was just lighten his load a little bit. You know, he, again, 39 years old, you know, you want to, in any way you can, make things easier for him. Whether it's carrying the puck into the offensive zone, whether it's getting the puck off the boards in the defensive zone, whatever the reason, and there are a number of them, you know, putting Alex on the right side has alleviated some of those complications, shall I say. of playing on his off wing. The other thing to point out, though, is this isn't the first time in his career that he's done this. Adam Oates played him on his on the right wing, I want to say for almost two seasons, and I think he scored 50 goals each season. So he's had a lot of success playing right wing. To me, it's a little bit overrated in terms of, you know, it's not like going from, you know, right tackle to left tackle in football. It's not quite that pronounced and that important because, like I said, Alex, you know, he can be right wing and you'll see him on the left side a lot. He kind of moves around a little bit. But in general, it does the aim was to make things a little bit easier for him.
Tark, thanks as always. Hope you're doing well.
Doing great. Thanks for checking in, Kevin.
Tark El-Bashir, everybody. Caps and Canadians tonight. Caps looking for a 7-2 start. All right, let's shift the conversation back to the Commanders. A couple of things. One, there is something out there that essentially has Philadelphia. We know that Philadelphia right now is a slight odds favorite to win the division, but there are other indications that Philly is the division favorite as well. Do we agree with that? We'll get to that. Also, Joe Witt Jr. and Cliff Kingsbury, it is their day to meet with the media, and they have done that or are in the process of doing that, so we'll have some of what they said as well. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app. Coordinator day out in Ashburn. Cliff Kingsbury speaking. Joe Witt Jr. actually speaking right now. Kingsbury has already talked. He weighed in from his perspective on the final play of the game on Sunday, the Hail Mary to beat Chicago.
Throughout the course of the year, it's crazy. We have a guy on our staff, Dave Rye, who's been part of five now. So three in Green Bay, one in Arizona, one here. So he's kind of the expert. But when we got to Arizona my first year, he and Tom Clements, who's Green Bay quarterback coach, legendary, one of the best quarterback coaches of all time, Coach Favre, Rodgers, all those guys, they kind of insulted like this was just going to happen. Like it's a normal play. I'm like, this should never happen. What are y'all talking about? But they've been a part of three with Rodgers. So we kind of bought in and have been fortunate to be a part of two of them. And the guys, I mean, it's about players, not plays, like I said. And the guys just executed flawlessly. And incredible play by those guys.
I mean, having gone through it once before, is it still as shocking and like sort of a holy, you know what?
Oh, there's no doubt. And the last one was COVID, so there were no fans, and it was just kind of us screaming. So this was a lot more exciting, and that was really kind of an incredible play. And he saw Hop one-on-one and took his chance of just Hop going up and making a play, and this one took everybody. And, so that was really special.
That was Kingsbury. Who did he say was a part of six of them, including with Green Bay?
I didn't hear
who he said.
There's a guy on the staff. Let me see if I can find his name there that was with him in Arizona as well.
Yeah. Okay. The play that they Kyler Murray had one to DeAndre Hopkins to beat Buffalo in 2021, 2022. Kingsbury was the coach. It must have been 2021 if he said no fans were there, if it was COVID 2020 or 2021. But maybe it was 2020, but that was, you know, Kyler Murray running around and just heaving it as he was about to get hit, if my memory's right. And Hopkins came down for it. It was not executed the same way this one was, where it was a tip backwards. Be a play that people talk about for a long time to come, and Kingsbury's been a part of it. Look, whoever he's referring to, is it this guy Andre Coleman?
Hold on, I'm listening to it back so I can get his name.
Okay. It's not Blau. Blau wasn't in Green Bay. It's not Pritchard. He wasn't in Green Bay. I don't know. We'll see. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers has, what, five of them now? Something like that. But
I think he said Dave Gardy was the guy.
Oh, Dave Gardy?
Yeah, Dave Gardy.
Well, no, Dave Gardy is the guy that came from the league office. He's the guy that's helping Dan out during the game, Quinn out, with a lot of the timeout stuff and the two-point stuff and the game management stuff. He's the guy that's been in the league office forever. Dave Gardy is the
clock-managing,
game-managing guy. I'm sorry?
Dave Rogers. So he's not officially listed on the staff on the website. He must be some sort of assistant or quality control guy.
Okay, got it. So The price on the NFC East division right now, Philly's a slight favorite. They're like a minus 125, 127 favorite. Washington now back to like plus 135, plus 140, somewhere in that area. Washington was the favorite prior to this week, but Philly going to Cincinnati and winning by 20, you know, has odds makers now believing Philly is the favorite to win the division. ESPN put something out yesterday. It was essentially a first half, you know, what we've learned, what, you know, what's coming next. And then they've got their, you know, analytics department putting together the percentage chance to make the playoffs and the percentage chance to win the division. I'll be honest with you, I typically don't pay attention to a lot of this, but I was reading the division sort of profiles, and I saw the percentages, and Philly is right now 51.3% chance to win the division. Don't ask me, by the way, what goes into this. I have no idea what goes into this 51.3%. I'm not a big, you know, in-game win probability guy. Unless, you know, after the fact, it was like at 99.7% and somehow that team lost. But I think a lot of this, honestly, in many ways is for entertainment purposes only. But Washington's percentage to win the division is 45.2%. So Philly's advantage is, you know, basically 6%, 6.1% greater to win the division. I don't feel that way right now. I actually feel like, you know, look, Philly's very talented, but I still feel like they could teeter at any point into, you know, dysfunction, etc. Now, they did add a very special player. There is no doubt that Saquon Barkley has been a massive difference maker. And on offense, with Barkley and A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, they have massive game-changing players. They have more. Washington has the best of the game-changing players, the quarterback Jaden Daniels. But Saquon Barkley now has 6 games out of the 7 played, because they've played 7. They've already had their bye week, of 100-plus scrimmage yards in 6 of the 7. He's just the 3rd Philadelphia Eagle all-time to do that. Wilbert Montgomery, some of you are old enough to remember Wilbert Montgomery, number 31 back in the 70s, early 80s, and LeSean McCoy. They got a special player in Saquon Barkley, and as long as he's healthy, that's been the issue behind that offensive line and with the threat there is around him at quarterback, at wide receiver, at tight end, when Goddard's healthy. And look, they've been injured along the offensive line. You know, they didn't have Mailata last week at left tackle. But I understand Philadelphia is a better team talent-wise. I believe that. I think they're better defensively, and I think they're really starting to come on a little bit defensively. You know, we've talked, Denton, about, you know, when they drafted last spring, Cooper DeJean is an example. They moved up, remember, in a trade with Washington and drafted Cooper DeJean. They were really trying to get faster. They were trying to get more athletic. They were slow defensively last year. I don't think there's any doubt about it. They were a slow football team on the back end last year. I think it's taken a couple of games for it to come together, but Quinyon Mitchell and DeJean and Cooper DeJean are playing good football. And so, and, you know, they've got beasts up front, obviously, in Jordan Davison and Jalen Carter. So I don't have a problem with Philadelphia being perceived as a more talented team. A 6% difference with a half game back, with, by the way, a schedule that still includes the Ravens. You know, these schedules, there's only 2 games different. You know, people always talk about, oh, they've got a last place schedule, they got a first place schedule. The difference is 2 football games out of 17. You know, you both, you know, the divisions all play each other twice. They all play the same AFC division. They all play the same 2 NFC divisions. The games that are different, actually, I'm sorry, it's 3 games. It is the 2 divisions in the NFC that you don't play. You play the team that finished in your spot, and you play another AFC team from another division where they finished in your spot. So it's 3 games difference. that you have. And remember, sometimes that doesn't, you know, mean that much. Sometimes it actually works out for the team that finished higher in the standings. Washington's three games this year that are different from the other divisions are they played the Cardinals out of the NFC West, and they have the Titans out of the AFC South, and they have, there's one other game that is different, the Bears, the game that they just played. So the Cardinals, the Bears, and the Titans are the three games that are different from the other three NFC East teams. So 14 of the 17 games are the same. Now, Philadelphia, though, because I was looking through this, Denton, they have not played the Ravens yet. They play the Ravens on December 1st. They also didn't get the Rams at the right time, more likely than not, because they have the Rams coming up. Those are two games that are going to be difficult games for the Eagles. The Rams game is on the road. Washington's got Pittsburgh, but so does Philadelphia. Washington does have games against the Titans and the Saints, two games that Philly doesn't have. They do. Philly already played the Saints. They have games against the Titans. The only game that Washington has left on the schedule that the Eagles either don't have or haven't already played is the Titans on December 1st.
You got to split with them. At the very least, because you play twice, you got to split with them, and you got to win. You got to beat the Giants. You got to beat Dallas twice.
You know, I don't think you have to beat Dallas twice and the Giants twice. I think you have to beat one of the two twice. 4-2 as a division record with a split with Philadelphia, I think ends up, you know, creating the potential for an 11-win season and a division title. And the other thing, too, here is, so Philadelphia's two losses are NFC losses. Washington has an AFC loss. So right now the Eagles still play the Ravens, and they still play the Steelers, but the fact that right now the tiebreaker would go to Washington in a tie, because ultimately you would get to, if the division records were tied, you'd get to the conference record. Actually, you'd get to common games first before you get to conference record, but that could be an advantage as well. Who do you like to win the division right now? We're at the halfway mark. It certainly appears to be a two-team race. I'm not really counting on the Cowboys to get back into the mix. They play the Falcons on the road this week. They're an underdog. They'll play the Eagles next week at home. They'll be an underdog. They play the Texans at home. They play Washington on the road. Their next four games, they're underdogs in. I think by the time the Cowboys get to their Thanksgiving Day game against the Giants, I mean, they're looking at who the new head coach is going to be. There's just nothing that's been impressive about them. I think it's a two-team race. Who wins the NFC East? 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Who wins it and why? Denton, who's your pick?
If you're forcing me right now, I'd probably go Philly, just because they're healthy and Saquon Barkley is a game wrecker. You know, he is one of the very few guys. It's like him, McCaffrey, Derrick Henry, legitimate game wreckers at the running back position. I don't know that Washington matches up great with that offense now that it's healthy. So unless they start hating their head coach again, which is still very plausible in that city, I would say Philly right now gets it with 12 wins, and Washington gets a wild card with 11 wins.
Who are the three losses the rest of the way to if Washington wins 11?
I would say they lose one to Philadelphia.
Hold on. They've got how many losses right now?
Two.
So 11 would be six losses. So you got them losing four more games. Who are they going to lose to?
No, 11, six losses? All right, maybe they win 12 games. Sorry, I'm still new to this.
That's part of trying to figure out who's going to win the division. They've got two. Philly's only got two losses, too. They have one less one. Washington's got two losses. If you got them at 11-6, I mean.
So I think they lose one game to Philly. I don't think they get Philly twice. I think they lose one game to Philly.
I agree. Look, there's a chance they don't win either game against Philly.
The Pittsburgh one scares me a little bit, just because defensively.
Pittsburgh doesn't scare me at all.
They don't scare you at all? Oh, Big Tony's going to hate that.
I think that Pittsburgh is better than they've been offensively. I'd like to see what Russ can do against. They play. Who does Pittsburgh play Sunday?
I believe they're on a bye week.
Oh, they're on a bye week.
Yeah, they're on a
bye
week Sunday.
Who have they played right now? He's played a game and a half that was really impressive against the Jets and the Giants. Russell Wilson.
I'm not afraid of Russ. More of the defense and Watt.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not afraid of any team that our offense has to go up against. Some will be more challenging. Pittsburgh will, no doubt. The Titans actually defensively are pretty damn good. Philly's going to be a bit of a challenge. But I'm confident offensively that we got a shot every week of putting up 27-plus and having a chance to win the game. I don't see four more losses.
I don't know if I don't know.
That means I've basically got him at 12-5.
Yeah. That Falcons game is going to be tough, though, right before New Year's.
Which one?
The Falcons game.
Yeah, it's at home. It's at home, and the home crowd, we actually have a home field advantage developing here. I could see a split with the Eagles. I could see another division loss, whether it's this Sunday. Yeah, I'm not discounting the possibility that they could lose Sunday. Or a split with the Cowboys. Although, the Cowboys better get them here because they finish at Dallas on January 5th, and that will more likely than not be a meaningless game for the Cowboys. And I could see them, you know, losing. So Eagles, another division, two division games, and, you know, whether it's the Steelers, Titans on the road against the Saints could be a different team. Derek Carr could be back. They could be healthier than they've been here recently. You don't know.
I don't know. I feel fine about that one, though.
I don't feel fine about any game because it's the NFL. You could lose any game. You could win any game. But if we're going to play this game, which is a dangerous game, I don't see four losses with how good they are offensively.
I can't tell you how much I'm rooting for Jacksonville this weekend.
So that means 12 wins and a split with Philly is probably going to be good enough for the division. So I'm picking Washington because Philly would also have to be kind of in that realm of 12-5. Philly, by the way, has played one division game like Washington. They beat the Giants. So they still have us twice, Philly twice, and the Giants one more time. They have to play Pittsburgh at home. They got to play the Ravens on the road. They got to play the Rams on the road. So if we think they're going to split with us and maybe lose another division game, the other division game would be big. You know, you can't finish less than 4-2. You might have to go 5-1 in the division to win the tiebreaker if you split with Philly. But I could see Philly losing four games much more so. Like they could lose at L.A., they could lose at Baltimore. You split with Washington, and then just one more. They do have the Panthers. They have not played the Panthers yet. God, did I just say Washington's going to win 12 games?
Remember when you thought it was crazy when you did a podcast at 10?
How about if they do lose four? That's still 11.
It's still 11. I've never seen 11 wins in my lifetime.
No, you haven't. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Who do you have winning the NFC East right now, and why? Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
MLB season came to a close last night. The Dodgers ended it with a 7-6 win in Game 5 over the Yankees to win a championship. Freddie Freeman named World Series MVP. No surprise there. After the game, Juan Soto was asked about his future. He said he is open to all 30 teams in his looming free agency. A number of guys that cover the MLB have said that that number is going to start with either a 6 or a 7 in his next contract. Thursday Night Football tonight, the Jets host the Houston Texans on Halloween. The Jets, despite being 2-6,
6 are 2.5-point favorites over the Texans. The Texans did learn earlier this week they'd be without Stephon Diggs the remainder of the season. Last night in the NBA, the Wizards get it done. They're 2-2 now, 133-120 over the Atlanta Hawks. Bilal Coulibaly, 27 points for him. He had 3 of 5 from downtown, was the Wizards' young guard. And that's what's trending.
Jaden Daniels voted as the Pepsi Rookie of the Week for Week 8. It's his 6th Rookie of the Week award in 8 weeks. Nikki Javala from the Washington Post tweeted out that Ben Roethlisberger won 9 in 2004, so he's 3 short of that as a record. Justin Herbert won 8 in 2020. And RG3, among others, Alvin Kamara, Baker Mayfield, Gardner Minshew, each won 7. Gardner Minshew won 7 Pepsi Rookie of the Week awards. Good for him. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. ESPN says that Philly's got a better chance to win the division, 51.3%. Washington's chances to win the NFC East are 45.2%. Do you agree? Who's going to win the NFC East and why? I'm going to pick Washington right now. I understand why Philadelphia is a favorite. I understand why some would lean Philadelphia, but I like Washington to win the division. I can't see them losing more, honestly, than 3 games, but definitely not more than 4. I think 12 wins it outright and 11 wins it, you know, is in a tiebreaker. And right now, Washington's got an AFC loss, which is helpful in the tiebreaker formulas. I'm going to go Washington. And not only that, let me just mention, I think Washington's going to end up being a 2 seed in the NFC playoffs. They're going to play the 7. And then they're going to get the 3 in the second round at home. I got Detroit 1, Washington 2 in the seeding right now, Denton, in the NFC.
You are so now, back.
Do I think... What?
You are so back.
It's not that I'm back. It's just what it's. This is not emotional. This is objective.
Washington it is, but
six
I think
two. Can, the NFC North can't have any more than a 1 seed or a 2 seed, right?
I think mean, it can be
the
both.
Other teams
though.
Are going to be.
I think it's. I think it is both objective, but I think also you're back on the horse. The apathy is
I'm
dissolving.
Definitely back on offense. This offense is elite.
The apathy is dissolving on a week by week basis.
I don't know about
you're never still... gonna wear like the Commanders logo. Understood.
Never.
But the apathy is dissolving. You're just about back on the horse now.
I'll take one of those W hats though.
Get you a W with a feather that Dan Quinn.
I'll take the McConaughey hat that says Hail on it.
And, man, that's a
Are
we didn't talk about
those
that.
Hats?
That's a great hat.
That's a good looking hat. Doesn't look good on him. He's wasting away. He's like a waif. What is he, 140 pounds? Seriously, right now, as we...
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are approaching the halfway mark for many teams. Washington would be one of them. Right now, the NFC North winner, I mean, they could beat each other up and be a, and the winner could be a two seed, but the two divisions most likely to have the top two seeds are the NFC North and the NFC East, whether it's Philly or Washington. I think they've got a legit chance to end up with a two seed. If they win 11 or 12 games, Denton, they're going to be no worse than a two seed because the NFC South winner is going to have 10 wins. It's probably going to be the Falcons. The NFC West winner is probably going to have 10 wins. If you get to 11, you're a top two seed. And they'd have to lose, for them to get to 11, they'd have to lose four games. For it to be worse than 11, they'd have to lose five of their final nine. I don't see that happening. When they were 5-2 in 2018, I actually was on the air predicting 8-8, not because I saw an injury coming to Alex Smith. I just didn't think it was a good team. This is an unbelievable offensive football team. This is top two or three offensive football teams in the league. And if the defense, if Johnny Newton continues to get better, then you've got an impact player to add to maybe two others, Luvu and Wagner, and maybe that defense gets better against better teams. All right. Who's going to win the division? Why not? Let's start with Ronald in Greenbelt. Ronald, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
Good, Ronald.
Well, inconceivably, it's got to be division winner. Could be Commanders. Like you say,
yeah, you know.
North, it's not going to be 10 wins because you have Tampa Bay. They want to probably that they beat us, but I don't think they're going to win more 10 games. And we could beat Atlanta. That'll put us in the playoff spot regardless, 10 or 11 wins. So I think we're in a division. It's 50-50. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I think Ronald got a little bit busy there. I think there was another conversation going on in the car. Been there. Understand. Cliff, go ahead. Who wins the division and why?
I think the Commanders got a shot at winning it because Jaden Daniels we trust, and it's the election year, and who says we can't repeat history of 2012 except for we not having all those losses early in the season? And I'll sit back and listen.
Yeah, I mean, 2012 they were 3-6. They won seven straight games. Nobody had them at 3-6 winning the division. I think that for me, the one thing, if they don't win the division, it's because they, well, injuries aside, can't predict those. It's because they just couldn't stop the better offensive teams on their schedule defensively. And they got involved in games in which the offense was kept off the field too much because the defense couldn't get off the field. And I think that that is the formula for beating Washington right now. You know, the Giants probably look at it and say, if we can run the football with Tracy and with Singletary and Daniel Jones and hit some of the, you know, quick game, hit some of the play actions, we can possess the football. We did it at their place in week two. Keep the other team and that guy number five off the field. We got a chance to be in a game. And to me, that's what Pittsburgh will try to do. That's what Philly will try to do. That's what the Saints will try to do. That's what the Falcons will try to do. You know, they're going to try to they're all going to recognize that their best defense will be their offense, keeping Jaden Daniels off the field. And Washington, I don't care what anybody says about how much it's improved. And yes, I've seen all of the EPA numbers that show their EPA defensive number has improved incredibly in the last three games. I also watched those three games, or certainly the last two. And I know that they, you know, got run on and gave up 200 yards in a quarter to Chicago. I know that the Carolina game got sideways right from the beginning with a pick six. So I'll come back to you after, you know, a Giants team, a Steelers game, an Eagles game, and tell you whether or not I think the defense is still vulnerable. This is a key stretch, especially Steelers and Eagles. But if they don't win 11 or 12 games, which would have them vying for the division and vying for a top two seed in the NFC playoffs. And by the way, if they were a two seed, it doesn't mean that I think they would be the second favorite. I think the NFC North runner-up and maybe San Francisco would be favored to advance past Washington in a head-to-head. But they'd have to come through FedEx to do it. Northwest Stadium to do it. But if it doesn't work out, it will be because either injuries hit them in a big way or the defense just didn't get to kind of an average level against the better teams. Jimmy in Baltimore, go ahead. Who's going to win the NFC East, Washington or Philadelphia, and why?
I think you're talking to Stevie Ray. I'm not sure who Jimmy is. This is Stevie Ray from Baltimore.
Stevie Ray. Go ahead.
That's okay. He said Jimmy, and I was like, "What? Okay, whatever." Let's see. Let's just throw this out, Aaron, for some fun and, you know, what you call it, and giggles. I look at the schedule, and I sat back a couple of days ago, and I did the same thing you did. I looked at the upcoming schedule, and yeah, I came up. I said, "Okay, I see three losses. I see one splitting with the Eagles, possibly the Falcons." And it's hard to beat the Cowboys twice in a year. Those are the two. Or Pittsburgh. There's another one. But okay. The other thing I did was, as I sat and I looked at it, and I said, wait a minute. They also could win them all. They can win them all. There's not a team on our schedule that we cannot beat. And the schedule is favorable to us to do that. So I'm going to throw it out there and say 15-2. And at 15-2, we take
that would be a division win and a one seed.
Hell yeah.
Good job,
Stevie
Ray.
Can I say one more thing?
Sure.
Can I say one more thing before you shut me off? I want to start this, and we'll start it on your show. I said it at the stadium. I think we need a nickname for this young man. I got a nickname for him. I want to call him the Ghost. And the reason why we'll call him the Ghost is because when people try to tackle, he doesn't run around the field. He kind of floats around. You know what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, the defensive players are trying to tackle him, and he's like, they're grabbing at air. The guy is here. He's there. People look at it, and they say, did I actually see what I just saw? You know, like the other day. Did we actually see that? It was like watching a ghost on the field.
It's a good day to come up with that nickname, Stevie Ray. Good day to come up with it. Thanks for that. By the way, he said something now that I forget. Oh, Denton, as you look at the rest of their schedule right now, who will they be an underdog against other than at Philly? I think they'll be favored in every other game.
I imagine they'll be favored.
And that includes at Dallas in the season finale because it assumes Dallas will have nothing to play for.
That assumes Dallas. I mean, who knows? Maybe this team has nothing to play for that week either.
Maybe. Yeah, because they've already locked everything up.
Yeah, I would say definitely on the road, Philly Thursday night, that's going to be a tough spot. Depending on how the next couple of games after that go, maybe that other game against Philly.
Okay.
Those are the only two.
That.
I mean,
yep.
It's like, unless, assuming that this weekend doesn't go terrible, they're not going to be an underdog against Pittsburgh.
Paulie, quickly, go.
Big guy, how you doing, man? L-T-W. I'll say this. Look, I ain't mad for ESPN, you know what I mean? Because I've been saying this. Philly is the litmus test, you know?
Yep.
But we got to win. We win this game on Sunday against the Giants, and it's going to be a tough game. We win this game, it'll give us a sweep of a division opponent, and I think that's going to be big. Because like you said, we got to beat Philly and got to beat Dallas. At least the first time we played them. And like you said, the end of the year against Dallas, they might not be playing for nothing. So that could possibly be a second sweep. So I like where we at, man. I like what the defense is doing. The defense is getting better. You can see the cohesion is getting better on defense.
You can see the hustle. You know, so, there's no doubt. You can see they're better. They're better coached.
No,
but I want to see I want to see it against Pittsburgh and Philly. Paulie, I got to run. I'm way past my out. Chris is up next. Back tomorrow, Football Friday, everybody.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.